Street at Today SOR.
Now, it's just over a year since the recreational use of cannabis was legalised in California on the 1st of January 2018. As the law has changed, supply has had to follow, and one Irishman is at the forefront of this billion-dollar industry. Martin O'Brien, founder of Foxworthy Farms, that's a cannabis farm in California, is on the line now. Thank you for speaking to us, Martin.
Good morning, Sean. How are you? Thanks very much for having me on your show, sir.
Tell me about Foxworthy Farms. That's one that you started. I mean, how big an enterprise is it? And where exactly is it?
The farm is in Sonoma County, just on the edge of the Napa Valley, where all the wine is grown. We came to Sonoma because Sonoma was very friendly to medical marijuana growers. If you had a dispensary, even in another town, Sonoma would let you grow there and they wouldn't bust you. You obviously have to take your chances with the feds, but it was the only county around where such a thing could happen. So we started the farm about a little over a year before the state regulations came down. We obviously knew they were coming. We have an 82-acre bit of land here up at the Sonoma, super high up, one of the highest parts of Sonoma. We have a state permit, which is also a county permit, because both have to interact. We have a state permit to grow 1.25 acres of cannabis. We have a license for 10,000 square foot of mixed light, which is greenhouse, basically, which could be heated floors, supplemental lights. We have 5,000 square foot of indoor, which is a much more controlled environment. Both of those places you can get crops every, if you're good, you can get it every 9 weeks if you've got your stuff together and you have enough of a team. And then we can do outdoor, which is about, you know, about an acre, about 40,000 square feet of outdoor, full season it's called, where the stuff goes into the ground around May, but it's grown up for a couple of months in greenhouses before that, and then it goes all the way to October, November, where it gets harvested.
Do you have to have a lot of security around the farm? And I gather you have a huge humidor that is apparently, it's full of marijuana. That would make it quite the target.
I mean, the SAS wouldn't raid this place. I mean, we're miles out of the road. I mean, there's one way in, one way out, 4 miles one way to the nearest road, 4 miles the other way. We do have security at night. We're here ourselves. We have cameras, lasers, motion sensors. There's the humidor we built was for conditioning or curing of the marijuana. A lot of people think that you just grow it and that's it. Growing's just about half the battle. There's a huge amount after it, getting it to the right condition, it keeping it mold-free, keeping it healthy, basically. It's all about healthy plants. Like, medical patients have got compromised immune systems. To us, it's medicine, one way or the other, whether it's for adults or for people who choose to be a medical marijuana patient.
As we know, California became the largest state in the US to legalize recreational cannabis use. So adults aged over 21 can now possess up to an ounce or 28 grams of the drug and can grow up to 6 marijuana plants at home. What has the past year been like, Martin?
Pretty insane in compared to what it used to be. Depends on the perspective. If you're someone in the business, that's definitely crazy. The amount of regulations and the state, like, over-regulated. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of farmers went out of business. Big corporations, not as big as you would think, but bigger money is coming into it. Lots of marketing and suits trying to get into the game, basically.
And do you supply it primarily for medicinal purposes?
Well, technically, I provided for medical and for recreation. Every dispensary has to... We're the only one in California that I know of that have got two separate dispensaries. One where the medical marijuana patients who may need a little bit more privacy would go to, and one is open. We're just 5 blocks from the university. There's young people everywhere, people walking up on the Telegraph Avenue. We're right on the avenue. And the new one is you can just walk in. All you got to do is show your ID. We don't scan you. And you can look around and shop just like a regular store, like any store. And then ask for help if you want. Someone will come out with a tablet and answer all the questions you have in the world. Very well trained. We call them cannabis consultants.
a cannabis consultant? Because I think a lot of people listening to us now would have concerns about the psychological damage that long-term or excessive use of cannabis might have. I mean, like, is there such a thing as promoting responsible use of cannabis?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, responsibility starts with, like, having clean, tested material and licensed facilities for people to be able to safely grow it so they can focus on what it is. I don't know anybody that suffered from long-term damage from long-term use. I don't know anyone, and hopefully I don't sound defensive here, but I personally don't know anyone who suffered from psychosis. It's a medicine. Now, I have seen people go to hospital for it when they take too much. And normally that will happen with an edible. The dose isn't so much controlled. Who's ever taken a bite out of a biscuit and not finished it? Or a chocolate bar or whatever it comes in, so people can get overdose, palpitations, go to hospital to settle down. But I don't know anyone has ever died from it.
I read some suggestions that, you know, as things are this year, it's going to be worth, the sales will be some 3.5 billion for this year and will increase substantially on that next year to 5 billion. So you must stand to make a lot of money out of this, do you?
I mean, we do. That's the way we've positioned ourselves. We just keep pumping the money back into the company. I still haven't taken a paycheck here from the farm. We also have a distribution company, because I can no longer take my stuff from my farm to my own dispensary. There has to be a distributor in between. So we started California Cannabis Distribution Company. It's all placed to, in a few years' time, when it becomes nationally legal, we have a choice then. Do we sell it out to some big American corporation who wants to take it national or international, or do we try to do that ourselves? But we're completely positioned for growth, expansion, and longevity.
It sounds so like you stand to make a lot of money, maybe tens of millions?
We plan to make hundreds of millions out of it, to be honest. And just we always put that money back into good things is our intention. There's an awful lot of money in it. Businesses should get turned on to it. It's a great thing for the economy of Ireland. I mean, it's just, I'm not fully familiar on what the state of the economy is in Ireland, since I'm buried knee-deep in what I'm doing here in California. But from what I hear, there's a lot of problems with young farmers. I mean, there's plenty of money to be made for farmers. Grand, healthy lifestyle. I mean, it's a good product. It's not going anywhere. It's not as if, you know...
Yeah, the Minister for Health actually told one of our programmes here called Ear to the Ground a couple of weeks ago that he would like to see medicinal marijuana legalised here, saying it's a major priority for him. So do you think, I mean, you might have opportunities maybe to start supplying into this country?
Yeah, I'd love to do it. I mean, what about the other way around? I'm not joking here, but I go down to the local store in Sonoma and I buy Kerrygold. That's the butter I buy. I mean, I'll drink an Irish whiskey or something like that. I'm not the only one. I'm an immigrant. What about the people around the world that love an Irish brand? What about an Irish cannabis brand? I start exporting that. So it's good for the economy. It's good for tourism. Cannabis tourism has taken off over here. It's a huge event. I mean, huge. There's 10,000 people at it with all kinds of boots and events. And Willie Nelson played there. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's a huge interest in marijuana and more and more.
Now, one other question I suppose people might be wondering, because we've seen a lot in the news, and you mentioned Santa Rosa there, which is a town that was badly hit by some of the fires there in Northern California. What about your own farm, Martin? Have you had any brushes with some of the damage caused by the fires there in the last few years?
We did, yeah. You know, I'm not exactly a country boy. Like, I'm from Ballinock, and I lived in Auckland for most of the time. Over here, moved up here 2 years ago. So we got evacuated twice last year. One came on the closest ridge, about 2 miles away. You could see it coming over the hill and down. We were gone. And we had to leave everything, the farm. This is the height of it, like the height of harvest. Place is packed with beautiful plants. Got evacuated, had to go. There's two ways, as I mentioned earlier, there's two ways out of here. One goes to Santa Rosa and one goes to St. Helena. Napa County to the left, Sonoma County to the right. We were under a mandatory evacuation. That's this. There was no way I was leaving. I knew a way out if I needed to. So we stayed here for a few days. Then a couple of lads came back. We came back with a 26-foot box truck, this time rented it. And so I was looking good Thursday. Friday, I wasn't looking so good. Friday night, we decided to fill it. About, I don't know, $700,000 worth of marijuana in the back. Again, we have to go left. So no one was on fire. So we have to go left to Napa, which is illegal. And we're like, we can't drive this truck all over California. Where are we going to go? There's a bar in St. Helena we go to. We're like, there's big trees there. Let's go there. We can park. It's hot. So we drive down, park under the trees. We're outside a Catholic school, turns out, and an empty house that was a nunnery. Your man came out. He's like, what are you doing here? I said, we got evacuated. I started chatting to him. My aunt was a nun, my aunt, in the, you know, in the Africa in the 50s and all of that, like, and I was chatting to him about that and papal knowledge, blah. I was surprised how much papal knowledge I retained. So off he went anyway. He came back about a half an hour later. He gave me a set of keys to the house and he let us park the truck. He didn't know there was marijuana in there. And he let us park the truck right there in the church, like, parking lot. And like, put us up for 2 days. That day I decided that I was going to look up the website, Catholics for Cannabis, to see if it was available. And I got the website now. It's not up or anything.
So you're going to set up a campaign, Catholics for Cannabis?
If I can get the priest to say it's all good from the pulpit, then more people are going to be accepting of it and empowering of it.
OK, well, look, Martin, thank you so much indeed for taking the time to talk to us. That's Martin O'Brien there from Foxworthy Farms. That's a cannabis farm in Sonoma County in California. Martin, good morning and thank you.
All right, thanks very much, Sean.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.